he would bring. Today, we hail him as our newborn king, the Messiah, the light of the world, and we celebrate the joy of his glorious coming as we sing praises to our Savior and to our Lord. In those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. So all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. They went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But long before that joyous night, the prophet Isaiah foretold of the Messiah's birth. It said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." How great a thought that the Ancient of Days would be an infant, that the Creator would be created, delivered to be our deliverer. Behold, the Lord our righteousness, the Lamb of God, born to take away the sins of the world. Emmanuel has come. And if you listen, you can hear it still today, the sounds of his coming. And just like the shepherds, we are, even now, be invited to draw near and worship. Same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. This was a night for good news. It was a time of great joy. And today, more than ever before, this is still the season of joyful, wonderful news of the newborn King.
Years ago, there was a clamor and commotion. Once upon a midnight clear, the heavens celebrated because the long-awaited Emmanuel was finally here. And in the fields abiding, shepherds heard the tidings that the angel of the Lord appeared. Like the angels it said, the wonder and the glory made for quite a story that they never ever would forget. 'Cause it was joyful,
wonderful
news of the newborn King. It was marvelous.
News the angel proclaimed. The King of all kings had been born. Yet there were no royal decrees, no kingly robes, no palace adorned with gold. How great was the responsibility of the young couple to give watch over heaven's charge. While their hearts overflowed with joy, no doubt their concerns were many. Uncertain days would lay before them, yet they trusted the sovereign Lord who had called them to this sacred moment.
She has
she trusted that God had in store for the blessings to come from the hand of the Lord. Through the pain and the strain she would endure. For the
My oldest daughter shares a lot of tendencies from both of her parents. She gets all the good from my wife and all the negative from myself. One of those traits that she shares with me is the pursuit of perfection. You see, both we have the first child syndrome, that specific way of accomplishing tasks, the right way, of course. That's, of course, a positive perspective of that, because there's a pursuit of excellence, right, that comes with that. The negative perspective is that sometimes our work can be viewed as a burden instead of a blessing, right? I noticed this mindset with her when our family was driving recently through some neighborhoods to enjoy looking at Christmas lights. And we had this little game in our van, in our vehicle, that kind of goes when there's Christmas lights on one person's side of the road, then everybody shouts, look at Audrey's side, look at Mia's side. And then when it's on the other side, it's, you know, look at Aletheia's side, look at Avi's side, and we kind of, you know, work this little game. And it's kind of this shouting match, you know, of whose side are we supposed to look at, right? And we're looking at enjoying and looking at all of these Christmas lights. And finally, the thought dawned upon my oldest child as she said something like this. These people must be crazy for putting up all of these lights and decoration because it takes a lot of work to not just put up these decorations and lights, but also to take them down. Kind of profound insight, because I was kind of commiserating with her thought that, yeah, this does probably take a lot of work for people who do this sort of thing. But it also disappointed me in that her view of work and worse probably came from me, right? Her view of all of that negativity about all the lights and the decor and the celebration, her downside probably came from myself. And so my response was, yes, dear, some things do take a lot of work, but all things that are very important are worth the work. You see, it's about this time that as we kind of are more than halfway through December, all of the work and the preparations we're starting to realize and be reminded that Christmas does take a lot of work. And yet somehow, everywhere you go, and everyone you know understands that all of the work that goes into Christmas is worth it. It's worth the glory and the joy of Christmas. This morning, I want to share a reminder that life is worth living despite all the work and effort that sometimes it takes. If you have a Bible, I'm going to encourage you to turn into Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2. And I want to read verses 8 through 20 and just share two reminders of why Christmas is worth celebrating. Luke chapter 2, to share two reminders of why life is worth living and why Christmas is worth celebrating. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You see, the joy of Christmas and the glory of Christmas is recognizing God's love despite all of our failures. That's a wonderful reminder. I don't know about you, but it's a wonderful reminder for me. In spite of all my failures, God's love and joy is there in the midst. You see, the scriptures, they open with this regular routine night for these shepherds who are keeping watch over their flock. And they're in this rather obscure place called Bethlehem. It's just kind of a rural, kind of a small little area, a small little population. It's kind of just an ordinary place. It's a place even not just for the religious elite, but for the outsiders like you and I. And that's who God decides to show Christmas glory to. It's to outsiders. It's to the obscure. It's to the ordinary people like these shepherds. In this regular, in this routine night for these shepherds who were keeping watch over the flock, that's who God decides to show the incarnation to. They would be the first visitors of the incarnation for Mary and Joseph. So God chose these shepherds to identify with the feeble, with those who have failures in their life. And that's wonderful news for you and I, because the shepherds are like us. The shepherds, even though in spite of all their dirtiness and how people would view them, that's how we're viewed. We have dirty lives. We have damaged lives because of our sin, because of our failures in our life. And ultimately, all of our failures, all of our downfalls of our life, they lead to what something calls the consequences of sin, which is death. And in the midst of that, there's this gospel message to these shepherds. It's found in verses 10 through 12. And I just want to emphasize a couple things that give us this reminder that God's love despite all of our failures. In verses 10 through 12, it says, I bring you. That message is for you. I don't care who you are today. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what ethnicity you are. I don't care what economic status you fit into. I don't care which side of the aisle that you vote on. The message is for you. You have good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. See, this is the message of the gospel. It's for you. No matter what sort of failures, no matter what sort of obscurity, no matter what sort of outsider, no matter what kind of person you are, the gospel message is for you. And for failure can kind of push us in, or it can push us away from God. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, he would kind of, in hindsight, he looking back at his life, he talks about how failure drove him to become excellent in basketball. Recently, an athlete, an MMA fighter, Ronda Rousey, there's all this hype about her and how great of a fighter she is. And recently she had this fight and she got knocked out, right? And it was a big surprise to everybody. And she says just recently in an interview that what drives her to return is the fact that she failed, right? Her failure is going to drive her to get back up again. And so failure can either pull us in or push us away. It can be what drives us and motivates us, or it can be something that causes us to turn away. For those who understand the gospel, failure is what should drive you. Failure is the foundation for your relationship with God. Not that you puff it up and brag about your failures, but failure should drive you to the grace that we find in Jesus Christ. This year is the celebration of the 50th anniversary for the Charlie Brown Christmas special. Did you know that? In December 9th of 1965, Charlie Brown Christmas special was screened, had its first showing. It was shown to a couple of executives at CBS and was sponsored by Coca-Cola. And after its first screening, its first showing, all the executives in the room at that time said, well, you gave it a good shot. They assumed that this was a royal failure because of the character who was himself a royal failure. And so, at that time, they thought that this royal failure was going to be just this one-time sort of showing. And 50 years later, we know that there's this icon that you have to have at Christmas of the Charlie Brown Christmas special. In fact, this show has now been shown in 75 different countries and is translated in over 21 different languages. You see, failure does not have to be the finality of your life. Failure can be the foundation of a relationship with the greatest joy and love that you will ever know. That's what Christmas is all about. There's also one more reminder that we see in this passage, is that the glory and the joy of Christmas is recognizing God's love despite even all of our fears. You see, these shepherds, they were ordinary people who experienced an extraordinary event. with an angel appearing to them, and God showed his glory to these shepherds. And the shepherds were afraid. And what the response of the angel was is to fear not and to show them God's glory. But to be able to understand this, you have to understand a little something about glory. You see, glory to God is like shining is to the sun. Glory to God is like wet is to water. Glory to God is like deliciousness to Reese's peanut butter cups, okay? That's what glory to God is like. As humans, we see glory all over the place. We see it in the sea. We see it in the skies. We see it in flowers and food. We see it in faces. Glory is both brightness and beauty, and it's descriptive of everything about who God is. And in the Bible, and all throughout the Bible, when God reveals his glory, it's overpowering to individuals. Think of a man named Moses who God revealed his glory to, and Moses had to take off his shoes because he was standing in the glory and the presence of God. Another place in Exodus 19, the group of Israelites saw the glory of God, and they trembled in fear because of his majesty and might. And they said, Moses, you go up on the mountain and see God's glory. We're going to stay down here because we're afraid of God's glory. One other place in Moses, he saw a lot of God's glory. He said, God, show me your glory. And God spoke back to Moses and said, you have to hide in a cave before you can see my glory. You have to hide in the cave, and then you can just barely catch a glimpse of my glory. You see, God's glory is overwhelming to us as individuals. The psalmist David, when he sees the King of Glory, all he can say is, the Lord is the King of Glory. The Lord is the King of Glory. The Lord is the King of Glory. And he just repeats that rephrase over and over and over in Psalm 24. Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God, he said, woe is me, and he bows down before God's glory. God's glory is just overwhelming. It's outstanding. Its glory is beyond our comprehension. And these shepherds were filled with fear, and the angel had to tell them to fear not. In many of my years, I missed the connection between Christmas and fear. That sort of connection has escaped me. But it's been there all the time. The angel speaking to Joseph, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. The angel speaking to Mary, Mary, don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. It's even in that familiar Christmas hymn, Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. You ever thought about that phrase? That line, the hopes and fears of all the years. Think about Joseph and Mary. Joseph and Mary, all the years, all the gossip, the rumors that would be out there about their life and their decision to go ahead with their marriage. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. See, Christ is the only one who can overcome our fears. We fear God today because of insecurities that we have. We feel inadequate. We understand that we fall short of the glory of God. And the gospel tells us this, is that we are loved despite what we haven't done or despite what you have done. The gospel tells us that in our identity is not in what we have done, but in what God does for us. We fear God even because of not just insecurities, but because of certainties. We understand disappointments and unmet expectations that often happen around the holiday season. We feel the limitations of life, especially the nearness of death, either of ourselves or loved ones around us. And so we understand that there's certainties of life, and we fear God because of that. And once again, fear can pull us in, or it can push us away from God. And so think about this. God understands that. And in his grace, the way that he helps us to overcome fear in our life is that he sent his son. He came and entered into the world as a baby. You see, who can be afraid of a baby, right? God, in his grace, he understood that the only way that we were going to be able to relate to him is if he came into the world in humble circumstances. If he had came in all his might and all his majesty and all his glory, we would have been overwhelmed and we would have said, no way, that's not for me. I can't understand it and relate to God. So God, in his grace, came into the world as a baby. So therefore, we can be brought near. Even further, the picture of the gospel, of not just in the birth of Christ, but even in the death of Christ. He dies in a very cruel way. He dies on a cross. And in that, it shows us that we can relate to God, that Christ experienced all sorts of suffering, even the suffering of taste and death. And therefore, we can relate to God. We can relate to Jesus. And Jesus conquers every fear that we face in life, all the way from birth to life and even in death. The greatest fear of all, the fear of death. And we all have it. Even if it's not for ourselves, it's for other loved ones around us. And the answer is in the resurrection. You see, this child was born to die, but he was also born to die and then raised again. That's Jesus. That's the gospel. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And so don't let fear rob you of God's peace and presence in your life, which we see in chapter 2, verse 14, that this message that we have, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So we have the peace of God in Christmas. Ultimately, the solution to experiencing joy at Christmas is in pursuing Jesus and then proclaiming that his grace unto others. Pursuing Jesus. You see, joy isn't an event. It's not a circumstance. It's not a season. It's a person. Joy is a person, and that person is Jesus. Jesus said, I have come that they would have life and have life abundant. I don't know where you are. I don't know even why you're here today, although I want to say I'm glad you're here. But you are here most ultimately because God wants you to meet him. He wants you to experience him, and he wants you to experience indescribable joy, and that joy is found in Jesus. I hope and pray that you will experience Jesus in this Christmas season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glory and the joy of Christmas, this joyous gift that we have in Jesus Christ. May our hearts overcome all of our failure and our fears through the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And may we not miss the opportunity to sing and to share of that grace with others which you have shown unto us. Amen.
To the world.
Into the ministry about 16 years ago, and when I was just sitting there thinking about this, trying to add up the years, and the first year or two, whenever I would have an opportunity to preach in front of people, I was extremely nervous, get all these knots in my stomach and kind of get tongue-tied and things, and I still, as you can probably tell, get tongue-tied quite often, and I really do, I haven't felt this sort of nervousness since then, when I first, those first year or two, a couple years early in the ministry. Today, I was very nervous, and here's why. It's because I was part of the choir, And it took a lot of restraint to not jump in with Louise there. I really wanted to. And Donald told me beforehand, he said, your mic is going to be on the whole time. I'm not going to mute it, so be careful, right? And so, like, I was very nervous today. So I just want to say congratulations, choir. And I'm just so thankful I didn't mess up. Just a great job that they did. A great job. Awesome. 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 Unbelievable. They were so amazing. I'm just so blessed by the testimony of God's word going through music. Thank you for coming to being a part of our worship service. If you've been a guest or if you're new, you're perhaps seeking and exploring Christianity, we would love the opportunity to help you begin that journey and grow in that journey with Jesus. That the Christian, being a Christian is about a growing relationship with God. It's a roller coaster. It doesn't mean that if you have faith that all your problems are going to go away. But we love the opportunity to help you grow in a relationship with Christ and to grow with a community of people who are real. The church body here, we're like family. And we all have struggles, and sometimes we vent and we weep with each other. But there's also celebrations. But ultimately, we're pointing to the perfect one, the Savior. And he's the only one who can have hope for things that we face in life. And so we hope and pray that we can be a church body for you if you do not have a church family. Please join us downstairs in a few moments. Downstairs, we have cookies. We have lots and lots of cookies. And so come help us eat them and just share and have conversation together. We'd love the opportunity to connect with you. Paige, I'm with you. I'm freezing too. I'm freezing. Yeah, you're not alone. You're not alone. It's freezing up here. We have the air on up here. All being said, thank you so much for coming. And please also join us for next Sunday for Christmas Eve. All right? God bless you.
Thank you to our director.
Yes. Amen.
You're dismissed.
Years ago there was a clamoring commotion, once upon a midnight clear. The heavens celebrated because the long-awaited Emmanuel was finally here. And in the fields abiding, shepherds heard the tidings that the angel of the Lord appeared.
What a sight, that blessed holy night. news of the newborn King. News of the newborn King. Joyful, wonderful.
Take a picture.